Thank you, Dwayne, and thank all of you for being here tonight. God has given us yet another day in which to honor Him and to express our gratitude and our love to our Father in heaven, and how thankful and grateful we are. Grateful that we could come together and encourage and motivate one another once again, and to praise the God who loves us, who gave Himself for us. You know, I'm thankful that He sent Jesus into the world. And one of the reasons I'm so thankful for His coming was because Jesus not only taught us how to die, but He taught us how to live. And the Bible says of Jesus that He went about doing good. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Have you ever stopped to really consider what all that really entails? That He went about doing good. He did. When you stop and think about what Christ did in this world while He was here, in those 33 years of His life, I can tell you that He did much. Now, we have the beginning of His ministry when He was about 30 years of age, when He was baptized of John in the River Jordan. And it marked the beginning of His earthly ministry in one sense. But it is inconceivable unto me to believe that Christ had not lived an admirable life, one that pleased the Father who is in heaven, even prior to that age 30. Now, we have what we call the silent years between the age of 12, when Jesus went up to the temple and He debated with the doctors of divinity of His day, if you will, the rabbis. And when His mother and father saw that He was not there, they were troubled, and they go back and find Him. And Jesus said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, I believe that Christ was always about the Father's business, even during those silent 18 years that we know nothing at all about. Someone asked me the other night, don't you think that, Christ, the Bible would have revealed all that information? Well, let me tell you, if God had wanted us to know all of that information, He would have revealed it for us. That certainly does not shatter my faith, because there are 18 silent years that accompany the life of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But I know one thing, that He was always one who honored God with His life. He was God in the flesh. But I guess maybe to all of us, we would like to be privy to that information about His life over that 18-year span. But we don't have it. But what we do have is about 3 years of recorded history concerning His life and ministry. And that's what we want to talk about here tonight, and what He really did. Jesus went about doing good. He did. It was not what He received, really, from other people, but it was what Jesus actually gave. There are 3 points that I want to make to this lesson tonight, the first one being this one. People were at the center of the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was a people person. Everywhere Jesus went, He met people. Everywhere Jesus went, He talked to them about God. Everywhere Jesus went, He reached out to other people. His ministry was in turn characterized by benevolent good deeds in Acts chapter 10. Truly, Jesus did well to all men. Do you know that Jesus really put other people before Himself? He did. He put other people before Himself, and the Bible is filled with example after example of where Christ put other people before Himself. The examples are found throughout the Scripture. Do you know that Christ did not claim any popular status for Himself? To the contrary, the Bible in the book of Philippians chapter 2 says that He made Himself of no reputation, but He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, and wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth. Jesus put others before himself. It is something that we all ought to remember in our own lives. Sometimes we are so selfish. We're selfish with our time. We don't want to do anything for anyone else. We're not interested in anyone but ourselves. That's all we ever really think about sometimes. But when I read the Bible, Jesus was not selfish in any way. He always put other people first. When people came to him with special needs, Christ was there. When they came to Christ hungry, Jesus reached out to feed them. When they were thirsty, Christ came to give them drink. And when people were ill, Christ never turned anyone away. You won't find in the Bible when someone came to Jesus about a particular need that Jesus said, "Well, go away right now. I'm too busy." But you know what? With many of us in the body of Christ today, I can tell you there are many who say, "I am too busy." Let me ask you a question. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Now, I know people don't like preachers to ask that question, but it's a very serious question. It's a very serious question to me, and I ask that sincerely tonight. What are you doing for the church? You ever stop to think about that? This afternoon, we had a Bible Hour meeting, children's Bible Hour meeting. We had few that showed up, but thank God we had enough to start Bible Hour this fall. And I'd like to name the names of those who agreed to help in Children's Bible Hour, because I think it's commendable that they have agreed to do so. These people are going to be doing it once a month. They only have to do it once a month. Greg and Sylvia Gerganis and Amanda Lane will be doing it one Sunday night out of the month. Pam Boyette and Dana Collins will be doing it one Sunday night out of the month. Mary Jo Thomason and Ruth Cox will be doing it one Sunday night out of the month. Ben and Carrie Rome, along with Audrey and Willette, will be doing it one Sunday night out of the month. You know, I can't help but think that there are other people in this church that have as much time as these folks. It's hard for me to believe that there aren't people in this congregation that have a little bit more time that they could give to the kingdom of God. Again, let me ask you the question, what are you doing for the church? Now, I'm not trying to anger anybody tonight, but what I'm trying to tell you is that you need to stop and think about your life, folks. God is not going to take you to heaven because you sit on a church pew. God rewards his servants. Now, that's what the Holy Scriptures say. And I ask you again, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? Probably, if the truth were known, very little for most of us. The faithful few who you can always count on, and they're always there. But I ask you again, Jesus put others before himself. I know people get busy. People have jobs. I have a job. But I'm going to tell you something. And I'm not here asking for accolades, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back by telling you this. I can assure you that I give this church at least 80 hours a week or more. Laura Lee can tell you that. Dale can tell you about it. Anybody that knows what I do, hey, things don't happen by accident. Yes, the church compensates me for what I do, just like your job. But if I got up here and I ask you to give a little bit more of yourself, and I was unwilling to do something beyond what I thought the church should compensate me for, I would be a fool, and not only a fool, but a hypocrite. So yes, I do much, much more than this church compensates me for. And I don't do that for praise. I don't do it for applause. I do it because I love God, and I understand that God is going to judge me just like he judges you. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Jesus put others first. not himself. People are at the center of his ministry. Let me tell you something else about Jesus. Jesus was willing to do the dirty jobs. What do I mean by that? Sometimes people say, give me a job in the church. Give me a job where people can always see what I do. No, that wasn't what Jesus did. What Jesus did, rarely did people see. That's why it's recorded in the Word of God for us, so we would know. Jesus served. He did the dirty jobs. When the disciples had dirty feet, Jesus didn't say, call a servant and have them come wash these dirty feet. But Jesus rolled up his sleeves and he washed dirty feet. Now the disciples were taken back by all of that. Peter especially said, Lord, you're not going to wash my dirty feet. And he said, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. And he said, Lord, not only my feet, but my head and my hands also. And he did. The dirty job. Sometimes in the church, people don't want to do the dirty jobs. And what I mean by that is doing something that is not seen. Someone said that there would be a whole lot more done in the kingdom of God and in the church if we didn't care so much about who got the credit for it. And you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. Jesus touched the sick. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus ministered to her in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 15. But Christ was always reaching out to the sick. They didn't have to schedule appointments to see this master healer, because he was there before they even called at times. You go through the life of Jesus, you'll find this was his life. It was his ministry. He reached into the spirit world and even called the dead back to life. One time there was a widow, and she lived in a little community called Nain outside of Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that there was a funeral procession going out to the cemetery with her only son. And his body was on that bier, as they called it. That's where we get the word pallbearers today. And that young son had died. We don't know what it was that caused him to die, but as they were walking in that procession, Jesus reached out and touched that young man and brought him back to life and blessed that widow. So many of us don't even have time to go to funerals anymore, if we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Shouldn't we take time? I mean, do they mean anything to us? If we had a family member that died, would we want people in the church there? I think we would. Sometimes you never really fully understand and know until the shoe is on the other foot. But Jesus rolled up his sleeves. He washed dirty feet. He reached out to the sick. He reached into the spirit world and to those who were deceased. He could bring them back to life, and did, not only for their sake, but to bless the families of those who had mourned their passing. Such was the case of Lazarus in the book of John, chapter 11. He did something that no one else would do. He reached out and he touched a leper. One of the most interesting scenes in all of the Bible is when Jesus touched a leper. Leprosy was a very highly contagious disease. Factually speaking, if you had leprosy, you were declared unclean. And you even had to voice it as such when someone came near you. I'm unclean. And do you know what? In all of the Bible, there's only one occasion where we find anybody touching a leper, and it was Jesus Christ. But he did. Service is not always about being up front and being highly regarded. Service to others is about doing dirty work, menial task. And we must learn to love what to many seem unlovable. But there's a third thing about Jesus. Jesus did not let obstacles get in his way. He didn't. Jesus faced one criticism after another. And when you feel like maybe that people are critical of you, stop and think about the life of Jesus. He was criticized. People didn't like him. There were events that could have taken his time. He didn't let sinners get in his way. The bereaved, nor did he even let death get in the way. Never. He said, I've come to seek and to save them which are lost. And that was the ministry of Christ. And I've told you many, many times before, Christ did not call us to be celebrities, but he called us to be servants. There are no celebrities in the kingdom of God. I don't care who you are. Sometimes we look for excuses to keep from doing for others. In the book of Luke, the 14th chapter and verse 16, it becomes very obvious. Christ said one time that a man made a great supper, and he invited people to come. But almost without exception, everyone that was invited began to make excuse. One said, I bought land, can't come. The other one said, hey, I bought cattle, can't come. Another one said, I've married a wife, can't come. One excuse after another. Christ even said it. He said they all with one consent began to make excuse. There were no legitimate reasons in all of this. They made excuses. There's no way you slice it other than that. It is true. People want to make excuses when they don't want to serve. It's like in times past. We call on people to teach a Bible class, teach people to come to Monday night for the Master. There's always some excuse. We try to get people to come back to church on Sunday night. There's always some excuse. You try to get people to wait on the table. There's always some excuse. You try to get people to serve God in whatever fashion it is. There's always one excuse after another with folks. I can't help but wonder what God thinks when he sees us. True service for others does not say why, but it says when and where. It is true. Let me ask you a question tonight, a very serious, pointed question. When will you have a change of heart and start thinking about others instead of yourself? Now, I'm not here indicting anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. I say what I say tonight because I love you. And I say what I say tonight because I fear for your soul security. Because I know full well someday God will hold us accountable And I am charged as a watchman of God, as elders of the Lord's church, and as a preacher of the gospel, to warn people. I don't want your blood on my shoulders. When God called Ezekiel to be a watchman, he said, you warn the people. And if they fail to repent, their blood will be on their own shoulder. But if you fail to warn them, then their blood will be on your shoulder. Isn't it time? Don't we think it's time for us, some of us, to make an about face and say, God, I've been playing church too long. I've been letting other people shoulder the responsibility that I should have accepted myself. You know, I couldn't help but think about these people that came to that Children of Bible Hour meeting this afternoon. I told them, and I tell you tonight, you know what? The most precious thing that we have in this church are our children. It is true. And when we fail as brethren to teach and develop our children, we have failed miserably. I'm going to remind you of something Christ said. He said, for us to offend a child, it would be better for a man to have a millstone tied around his neck and cast into the depths of the sea. And when we fail to teach our children, we have committed a serious offense. One for which you'll be held accountable. So many gifted people in this church, but we always have the faithful few. If we reach the world, as I told them this afternoon, outside, and we bring children in, or we're able to save other souls outside the church, and we lose the souls of our own children, we have failed most miserably. That's why the education program is so important. You can't just continue to shoulder that responsibility on someone else. We all are accountable. I know you didn't come for this tonight, but it was on my heart. I hope it's on yours. Let us stand and let us sing.